Grace, mercy, and peace be to you as we honor our military on this Veterans Day weekend. Veterans Day is a day distinct and separate from Memorial Day. It is a day that we remember and honor all those that have served in the military. Memorial Day is a day set aside to honor those who have died while in military service. And we observe Memorial Day on the last Monday in May. Now, Veterans Day was actually yesterday, November 11th. It marks the end of the First Great World War. World War I formally ended when the signing of the armistice, or the ceasefire with Germany, went into effect at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. This long-awaited truce marked a victory for the Allies and a defeat for Germany. But Germany never really formally surrendered. The war was very brutal, and in fact, on the very last day of the war, 2,700 people were killed. I feel that even though the two holidays are distinct from one another, it's not hard for us to associate the two together. Death is a common theme or factor in both. Even though Veterans Day celebrates those who have served in the military as opposed to Memorial Day, where we honor those who have died, death is still an ever-present reality for the soldiers themselves and for those that they know. Military and death go hand in hand. It would be hard for us to refute that. All of this ties together with last week's feast day, All Saints' Day, and what we believe about death and the hereafter. Our epistle lesson for today builds on that theme that we started last week. In Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, we find a community wrestling with a question that reaches to the very core of their faith. They wondered about the destiny of their loved ones who had passed away before the return of the Lord. Would they be included in their kingdom? It is here that Paul, with the tender care of a shepherd, answers their question and ours with words that reflect the Lord's promise. We do not want you to be misinformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that they may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Paul begins to answer their question by offering not only comfort, but a perspective that transforms their grief into a living hope. For with these words, Paul reveals the future where the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. This revelation of God through Paul is merely not for their comfort. It also carries an implied exhortation to live a life of vigilance. Paul's words are like a beacon in their darkness, a foghorn sounding a warning. They are to live in a manner worthy of this great reunion and gathering. Immediately following our sermon text, from the epistle, Paul continues with these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Paul is saying here that the Thessalonians, and in a larger context, all believers, are to reflect a Passover readiness. Belt fastened, sandals on, and a staff in our hand. To walk daily with this attitude reflects our belief in the imminent return of the Messiah. It also means that our faith in this promise is not passive. It is charged with the active work of that faith, a labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Back into verse 14, Paul directly speaks to us about the foundation and the heart of our certainty. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. It is with these words that Paul lays this foundation of hope, anchoring it in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We remember the words spoken by Jesus himself as recorded in the Gospel of John. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. It is with these words that Christ declares his dominion over death, assuring us that in him life is eternal. Paul's intent in this letter is not merely to comfort us, but to build on this foundation, providing a solid understanding of what awaits us beyond this veil of tears. The knowledge of that same power that raised Christ from the dead will also bring our departed loved ones into his glorious presence, and it helps us during our times of grief. Paul continues to build when he writes, "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and with the voice of an archangel and the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Here is that promise that should reassure all hearts of those who believe. The scriptures confirm that the dead in Christ shall rise, a future reality. But we also consider the profound difference that this makes in the despair that often grips those who have no hope beyond this physical world, and the steadfast assurance that fills the hearts of those who believe in Christ. For the believer, death is not a period, but a comma, a brief second of pause before we experience eternal life in heaven that God has promised to us. This truth of the resurrection is not just for reflection at funerals or when we have a moment of loss. It is a call to live with purpose, to live with passion, to prioritize what is eternal over what is fleeting, to invest in the unshakable rather than the temporary. The truth of the resurrection does not just comfort us, but it compels us. It drives us to live with our eyes fixed on that eternal horizon, our actions fortified with significance, and our hearts filled and lifted by the joy of what awaits us. Every decision, every action, every moment of our days should be lived in light of the resurrection, allowing this reality to shape our mission, our priorities, our relationships, and the very understanding of life itself. And in Paul's next words, we find assurance for those living on Judgment Day. "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we always will be with the Lord." Imagine that moment. Imagine that sight. Believers from every tribe, from every nation, people, language, will rise freed from the bonds of this earth, meeting the Lord for this glorious reunion. This relates to our sermon from last week, where we heard the comforting words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." John 14, verse 3. This assurance that Christ will return and gather his own to himself is the cornerstone of our faith. So what does it mean for us today? It means that every morning when we get out of bed, we do so not only to face our calendar, our list of tasks to accomplish that day, but we do so with the knowledge that at any moment, any day, Christ could come back. It could be Judgment Day. And we face that with the promise of eternal life with our Lord. This should give us immense comfort, especially in the face of loss. But it's also an ever-present call to readiness. We should then strive to live a life of purity, for our lives are not hidden, but are heading toward an encounter with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We carry on with our mission, carry on with our lives, our work, our relationships, not as those who grasp desperately at the things of this world, but as those who are confidently preparing for life in the next. We portray a sense of readiness, a spiritual alertness, not characterized by fear, but by anticipation, much like soldiers who prepare and deploy, but also eagerly await their return home. And we are to encourage others with these words, as Paul writes in our last verse, the knowledge that Christ will transform all things and we will be with him forever is not meant to be kept a secret, but to be proclaimed from the rooftops. It is a truth that should echo within the rooms of our homes and our hearts and resonate in our words and in our actions. It is a comfort we are commanded to give to one another, especially in times of trial and in times of loss. So as we reflect on this Veterans Day, as we honor those who have served and or are serving in the military, we are very aware of the cost and the commitment our freedom brings. But we also take hold of the promise of eternal life, paid for by the one who really set us free, Jesus Christ our Lord. Be bold and confident in your faith and knowledge of eternal life. Soldier on, and to God be the glory. Amen.